you could say, going back to the Vajrapani point, that the Animitta Samadhi is the state of mind or being from which the Diamond Sutra emerges. There are other sections on this not being supported, of support being a non-support. There's the famous passage which, according to legend, Hue Nung, the sixth patriarch, heard as he came out of that shop on his firewood selling round. He comes out of the shop and there is someone reciting a sutra, and it's the Diamond Sutra, and the passage that's being recited is this one. Therefore then, Subhuti, the Bodhisattva, the great being, should produce an unsupported thought, a thought that is nowhere supported, a thought that is not supported by sights, sounds, smells, tastes, touchables, or objects of mind. Khonsa points out in his commentary, as does Bante in his, that this produce an unsupported thought is a rather awkward phrase. It sounds a bit like a conjurer pulling a rabbit out of a hat. Ladies and gentlemen, an unsupported thought. Well, it's not a very elegant way of referring to the arising of the bodhicitta, is it? The bodhicitta can manifest only when all supports, all props have fallen away, when all false refuges have been let go of. Have we got any intimation of what this is like? To be unsupported in this way, free of crutches, free of emotional dependency? Khonsa lists 21 variations of this state of not being supported, and he divides the 21 into three divisions. And in the first division, it's unsupported as applied to two objects. Well, for instance, one object leaning on another. And in the second division, it's applied to emotional experience, meaning not settling down anywhere. Not settling down anywhere. Not nesting. Not becoming institutionalized. And thirdly, as applied to social relations, not expecting, not relying on any help from others, not relying on it. So this is a very uncompromising declaration of non-attachment, these 21 ways of being unsupported. It sounds very scary, doesn't it? But at the same time, it's liberating. It relieves one of all that exhausting hassle, that crude and subtle jockeying for support that goes on in one's life. This state of being unsupported is enlightenment itself. Bodhi, awakening, the matchless security. Matchless security? Matchless security, as no security has that been declared by the Tathagata. That's the language of the sutra again. So my question is, coming back to Vajrapani again, is this perfection of wisdom voice in the Diamond Sutra, the diamond voice, is it the voice of Vajrapani wielding his thunderbolt, smashing through each and every support? In that commentary, in the Jewel Ornament of Liberation, Bante goes on to say that Vajrapani represents the Buddha's own, as it were, delusion-annihilating genius. I thought that was amazing. Vajrapani represents the Buddha's delusion-annihilating genius. Genius there meaning tutelary deity, not that the Buddha himself really needs, as it were, any tutelary deity, but it's a bit like the Buddha's daimon. There's a sutta in the Pali Canon where some chap, probably a Brahmin, comes up and enters into dialogue with the Buddha, and the Buddha asks him a question, and the chap refuses to answer. I won't go into any details, but he just refuses to answer. So the Buddha asks him again, and he doesn't answer. And the Buddha says words to these effects. I haven't got the actual text. You better watch out. You better watch out, because if someone refuses a third time to answer the Buddha's question, and Vajrapani is there, I think in the sutra, yes, in the sutra. He's above the Buddha's head with, in his right hand, this Vajra ready to hurl it, you know, when question three comes. So, I liked that. I made a connection for me personally with the Diamond Sutra and the way it's like, it's hurling these Vajras at me all the time. Wham, wham, you know? And it's the Buddha. The Buddha is speaking, but the Buddha's daimon is Vajrapani there, you know, just hurling these Vajras constantly, breaking through my resistance. Oh, gosh. My resistance must be very strong because he's been hurling them a lot. Yeah. Well, enough's enough, isn't it, really? But I see this association with Vajrapani as also related to the association between the perfection of wisdom and Akshobhya, the imperturbable. See Kansa's famous essay, Love, Hate and Perfect Wisdom. And Vajrapani, interestingly enough, is the family protector of the Vajra family.